always get to talk to Pat. I like Pat a lot. I got a lot of respect for Pat. He's I got a respect for Pat for what he's built as a business owner, but I also think like I have a lot of respect for what he's shifted gears now. He's realizing what's really important in his life right now. And that's what I think you and I are trying to do. That's what TCL is trying to do, trying to educate the kids. And he is 100% right talking about how 20 years ago when he was 25 and it was just all about the game, it was all about the construction. And he was, but he saw the value that he was losing with his family, which is great. Takes time, but it's great that he saw that. And now he's there now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we don't want people to have to sacrifice time with their kids. When he said, you know, I missed out. And I don't know how many people look back and realize that they missed out. Like we were at a 1-year-old birthday party at our landscaper's house this weekend. And there was another guy. So it was a whole bunch of different trades there, actually. And there was another one. He used to work for my husband because he does heating and air conditioning. And he used to work for my husband when he was younger. And then he started his own company. And, you know, he's, oh, yeah, I remember and stuff like that. So, you know, we were talking about exactly the same thing. He's got three young kids. The youngest is 5. And his wife is always just left at home with the kids as he's, you know, plugging away at his business and trying to give them, I guess, everything that they want. And he said, you know, what kind of advice could you give me, you know, and even, you know, she was kind of looking at us like, hopefully, I think, going to say the right thing. And I said, don't miss out so much on your kids' life. I said, I was the one bringing my kids to soccer and swimming and doing the bike, you know, teaching your kid how to ride a bike. And it was all on me, doing the Italian school, it was all on me. And so I feel like he missed out on that. But I don't know if he feels like he did. I don't know. I know how precious those moments are. And I think Pat is realizing that because now as he spends more time with his kids, he realizes how much he likes it and is feeling like, oh my God, maybe I did miss out because look how enjoyable this is now. Yeah. So that was my advice. I said, don't miss out so much on your kids' life because they're only small for so much time. And literally, I heard this too this weekend. You only have them until they're like 18.
Yeah, and then they're technically adults and they're in their own, they're creating their own world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, mine are older now and luckily they still live at home. But every moment I am just like so appreciative of their presence because I don't know how much longer I'm going to have them with me. And then once they're out of the house, then
you as parents are supporting characters in their movie.
Yeah.
That's just reality, right?
Oh, you're, that hurts, man.
I'm sorry, but it's just like that's, that you guys are, unfortunately at that age, the kids would be like looking at the screen going, oh, look, it says mom or dad on it. And they're like, oh, I'll get back to her, him.
Yeah.
Right. Which it sucks. And the thing is, I bring that up because I did that. And then you regret it sometimes when you don't have the parents for as long as you can have them. And then you miss those opportunities. So it's funny you say that about the flip with the parent looking at the kid and the missed opportunities, but then as the kid becomes an adult themselves, they're going to miss out on opportunities with the parent because we don't know how many, unfortunately, you probably have fewer days with them than you had with them already. That's what could happen. You don't know, right? Yeah. So it flips. And as long as the young understand what we go as old and then the old understand as what the young are going through, it's both sides of the same coin.
And that brings back to something one of our guests said on the last show. It was Mark who said that it was the passing of his mom that caused him to have this big shift. And he said it was a hard time for 2 years, he said. And I just thought, like, that's the type of mom that I want to be, that when I pass, and I don't want to talk about it because it'll make me cry, but when I pass, I want my kids to say, like, I miss my mom.
And they will.
But I feel like if you have kids, like that's the type of parent you want to be, where you're not just like money bags for them. Like, you know, we've heard stories of adult children saying, you know, I can't wait until my parents pass because then I'm going to be able to pay off my mortgage. Like that's really gross.
I don't understand that conversation.
That's really gross. But it's like the value of your parents is only like for money and how they're going to leave you their inheritance to be able to provide you the life. That's the only value that you have. And so I was like, no, that's not the legacy that I want to leave behind. And the other thing that Pat said that really, and there was a whole bunch of things that he said that were just so bang on, but I don't want them, you know, the legacy that I leave is more than that, that they, you know, as he said, not just, oh, you know, dad buys us stuff and it's the memories that you had. He goes that when you go on vacation, it's the memories that you create, right? It's not just being away. Because in my low point, I could have been anywhere. And I was in Aruba on one vacation and it meant nothing to me because I was just at such a low point. And here I was in this magnificent location. And so it is about like the memories that you create. In the end, when you're like on your deathbed and then you're dead, like what do you really bring with you along with you?
That's
it's
all
not
you
your
have.
Stuff.
That's all you have. It's just the memories.
Just your memories.
Yeah. Like there's never a U-Haul behind the hearse, right? Mm-hmm. That's Denzel saying that. So it's just like, that's just, so that's why I like what he was saying. And I really want the younger generation. And he also did mention that it's an age thing. You don't discover this until you get older. And I think I'm hopeful the younger generation discovers it a lot sooner mm-hmm. and sees the value on both sides.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And when you say younger generation, I'm wondering like how much younger, because I feel like I seeing kids in the 20s, like he said he was hustling at 25. Right. I'll be honest. I'm not seeing a lot of kids.
They're
like
not doing
native
that.
Canadians born here, right? Where they're born into stuff already. They're born into like pretty cushy lives. I'm not seeing that like that drive, that hustling, that ambition that he said that was driving him at such a young age. I'm not seeing that.
Here's the sad truth about what I am seeing, and the memories that the younger generation are creating have no value whatsoever. And what I mean by that is hanging out at the coffee shop on a regular basis and just having conversations about your current lifestyle, that's not a memory that will stick around. You talking to a friend, and I've done this before, where I was the one that instigated this. I woke up one morning out of the blue, text 3-4 friends, turned into 6 friends, and I planted the seed of, who wants to go on a vacation? Because I'm itching a vacation. Anybody interested in doing a vacation? And then by the end of the conversation through text, group text, we were booked on a plane the very next day to go to Cuba. That's a memory. We were gone for five days in the middle of something that was never planned. That was just on the spur of the moment. That's a memory. Hanging out at the coffee shop and grabbing your latte or your croissant every morning, that's your routine. That's not a memory. So I think this younger generation needs to start picking and choosing their memories. But also when they get to a certain age point, start picking and choosing your memories with your elders as well too. Mm. Parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts. There's value in all these people because they've been down this road. Mm-hmm. And those are memories that you want. I still laugh at certain things that I've experienced with my parents and also my mom's grandparents because I never knew my dad's parents, my mom's parents, my grandparents. But I still remember all that stuff, right?
And for science, to bring in a bit of that, how you create that memory is through the process of savoring. Mm-hmm. So when we savor the moment, it's that we're completely present. So even the little moments that you said, oh, the coffee shop, whatever, no, those can also be memorable moments for you if you're totally present and savoring it, right? So as you and I are doing this, if I'm really present and really enjoying the conversation,
no, that's a good
and
point.
Really, you know, here I am having my coffee and being like savoring all the lovely aspects of this, like, you know, this amazing podcast room that we have, like the people that are going to call in, this becomes the memory. It's when we're not present and things are fleeting,
right,
that you look back, and how many people look back at their life and it is like, it feels like a blur. It's because we're not savoring enough, because savoring draws out, like when you savor a meal, or I savor my morning cup of coffee, like literally I draw it out.
Or booze.
or a good drink. No, like, right? Like, even when I'm having a cocktail that's like $20 nowadays, I'm like, oh, geez, I better savor.
What are you talking about, $20
cocktail? Yeah. Now, don't go downtown.
My Manitos are much cheaper than that.
Don't go downtown. Don't go to King Street where $25, $30 is just like a regular price down there.
We have to call the next person. Okay. Teresa, ready?
Yes. So savor your moments.
Over 630 shows. The Construction Life. This show is constantly evolving. The idea is that I'm listening to the guests and I'm listening to our audience and I'm trying to figure out where else can we take the conversation. Listen, I understand. It's not always about swinging the hammer. I've told everybody since day one, TCL is 50% about swinging the hammer and TCL is 50% about the person swinging the hammer. So now we're taking it to the next level, level X. In TCL X, we invite guests to share their dark, hidden secrets of the industry without fear of reprimand. Each guest's identity will be protected with visual blurring and voice modification, allowing them to speak freely and openly. You might want to tune in to TCL X. It'll be exclusive. You'll have to find it where the real hard stories are going to be told and nothing's off limits. Because at The Construction Life, the truth matters. Book now to be a guest on the show. You can DM me through any of the social platforms. You can email me at info@theconstructionlife.com or you can text me at 416-433-5737. TCLX is coming soon. Hello.
Demo Fear speaking.
Hey, sorry, how do you pronounce it again?
Punam,
how are you? It's Manny.
Hey, Manny, how's it going?
Good. Is this a good time? Are we good to talk?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, I appreciate. Yeah, we're just having technical difficulties, like the reception in the studio and yada yada yada. So I finally
don't worry about it all.
I lost my co-host because she's misplaced her phone and then she started panicking. Oh. So if you could just bear with me for a second, just stay on the phone. And then once she hopefully gets back, then we can get chatting for a little bit. Here she is.
Yeah, not a problem.
You found it? Okay. I'm connected with Punham.
That's great.
Punham. That's correct spelling.
No, Manny. No.
No. That's how it was spelled. No. Well, how do you spell your name?
No. There's no ham. I'm not a pig.
No, I didn't. That's how I thought it was spelled.
I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with you.
See, it is Punham. Yes.
There is no H in there, though. It's spelled Papa Uniform November Alpha Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. How did I?
A-M.
Okay, Punham. All right.
Punham, yeah.
Thank you, Punham, for being on the show. I want to introduce you to my co-host here, my partner in crime, Teresa. She's on the other side of the podcast table, a room that you should be in one time, hopefully in the near future. Yes. Get Patrick back on the show and get you on the show and we get talking about you guys.
Right. Sounds good. That sounds like a plan, Manny.
All right. I appreciate it. So,
Hi. Thank you for being on today.
Yeah. Pleasure to meet you, Teresa.
Thank you.
So I reached out because I love what you're doing by talking to the crew and asking them about just things that are going on, whether it's personal or professional lives. And you guys do hard work to begin with. So there's a lot of respect coming from me because of that. And the crew works really hard and they love what they do. But I think it has a lot to do with what Patrick mentioned, how it all comes from you, how you and him, you guys have built a company culture that your crew is happy for the most part. Am I wrong to say that?
No, 100%. I make it a point that there is happiness in the crew. So culture is an absolute, I live and breathe culture. A company doesn't really exist or have the ability to scale if you don't have culture. And culture, company culture, eats strategy for breakfast. That's not my quote. That's a quote I heard years ago. And it resonated with me because what do you have if you don't have culture? Even if you look at cultures in itself, like you look at the Italian culture, you look at the Portuguese culture, what do you have if you don't have culture? It's what binds us, right?
I hear a lot
of
yelling.
It's what brings us together.
I hear a lot of yelling when you say Italian and Portuguese culture.
Yeah, right. But it's still a binding culture.
Yes.
It binds you, right,
yes,
Manny?
For sure.
It supersedes... it supersedes everything else. You have to have it. And look, I don't create, I'm not responsible for anybody's happiness because, you know, at our age, happiness comes from within. You have to find it in yourself. What my responsibility is as a business owner, as a team member, is to create an environment where that happiness can, if somebody brings that with them, that it flourishes, because I, as a leader, because I see myself as a leader, not a business,
100%.
Not an entrepreneur. Yes. I'm a leader, yes, above all. I'm a leader because I have a vision and I want people to follow me. And the byproduct is profit in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm looking to provide an environment where people can bring what they are, develop the happiness that's in them through the work that they do, because what we do, like, you know, is highly kinetic. Yes. I hire people who want to work with their hands, right?
Yes.
And they get joy from that, right? So if I've done my work, i.e., I'm going to give you an example. We do demolition. If I haven't done the vetting of the client, the vetting of the job, if I haven't given my guys a clear scope of work and then clear expectations, then they're not going to be happy because they're confused. They don't know what they're supposed to do when they show up. But if I've done the heavy lifting up front and they're already happy, then I've provided an opportunity to work in flow, in yoga. They're having a great time. Yeah. If I do my job.
I know. I see it. I totally see it.
And so how do you contribute to that inner happiness when you say that they come to work happy? Is there something that you can do as a business owner to facilitate that on an internal level?
If I understand your question right, Teresa, you're asking me what do I do to make sure that happens on a job site?
No, so you said, and I love all the points that you shared, that you said, you know, that I'm doing some of the heavy lifting because I'm doing the vetting and I'm doing all these things on the outside. Is there anything that you've done to help them to connect with their happiness on an inside level? As you said, it's an inside job. So have you ever shared anything with them that helps them to cultivate that so that then when they're coming to work, they're now in a good place?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So that happens on one-on-ones. We have conversations. We have conversations about their personal life, that they're working on stuff. We help to promote their development through development and learning. So we know that, I'll use the example of a flower or a tree. If a flower or a tree is not growing, they die, right? Mm-hmm. That's the same for humans. If you're not growing and developing on a daily basis, if not on a daily, on a weekly, monthly, then you start to lose your passion, you start to wilt. Right?
Yes.
So what we try to do is identify what that person is looking for from a development standpoint within the work that we do, so we can provide an environment that they can continue to grow and develop.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Because
so for example, a lot of my guys come to me and they don't know how to read blueprints. And, you know, Patrick, who's been in the business for 35 years, knows how to do everything, of course. He's exceptional at what he does.
Yeah.
But reading a blueprint is, that's bloody empowering. Like, a lot of the guys that we hire, I've hired guys on LMIAs, I've hired guys who have no construction experience. And just the idea of being able to read a blueprint is so empowering, because the next person on a job site or a project site is someone who is a GC, and typically, hopefully, they know how to read blueprints. I mean, our clients do. So now imagine someone who's not gone to school other than high school gets to learn or has an opportunity to be shoulder to shoulder with someone who may have gone to university and read and knows how to read blueprints.
That's a huge opportunity.
So bloody empowering. Yeah. Someone who might not even be able to speak English, Manny.
I know.
Some of our guys come to us and they have broken English, but they've come over on a work permit. They're trying to build their life. We know. I'm an immigrant. My parents, yes, immigrated to Canada years ago. I mean, obviously I'm Canadian. My parents came over, right? So,
yeah.
But a lot of these guys, a lot of them go to job sites. I see it all the time. They go to job sites and they just put their head down and walk into the job site because they're afraid. They're afraid because somebody might speak to them in English, right? And they don't want that. So we do that as well. We help with English. I mean, that's nothing new. There's a lot of companies that help with English, but I guess a blueprint reading is one that is incredibly powerful and can set them up for their future within Demo for Your Reno, yep. Or if they choose to move on, because, you know, I don't expect people to stay. My guys stay, but I don't expect them to stay. It's demolition, right? You want them to move on.
Here's a question for you, where when you first started kind of treating the crew this way, which is not the norm, you know that, right? And Patrick knows that. Everybody in construction knows that, that it's not the norm. Were they caught off guard or were they very well receptive by it?
They're so, honestly, Manny, they look around, they're waiting for, like, candid cameras.
Yeah, well, like, what's going on here? I don't understand this. Why are you being so nice to me or why are you speaking to me this way?
Right.
Yeah.
They're waiting for the shoe to drop. It's so funny because they're like, are all companies like this?
You found a good one.
No. And, you know, look, I was raised a certain way. I've worked in corporate Canada my whole life. I've worked for a publicly traded company. I ran a scrap yard for my brother. I've got a bandwidth of knowledge and experience. At the end of the day, I'm here having a human experience. That's what I'm having. So if I'm having a human experience, that means everybody around me is having a human experience. And I know that when I die, I take nothing with me other than my memories. I know categorically I'm taking my memories with me, that wherever I go, that energy that has resonated and, you know, that energy that has filled our body, that's memories, and we take it with me. So I want to have the best ones, and anybody I come across and anybody who touches my business or I touch, I want to have that experience with. So I don't know how to be any other way.
No, it's perfect. And I do happiness at work workshops, and, you know, some of the benefits to having employees who are happy at work. You know, one of the benefits you shared, which was you said, you know, it's fine if they kind of outgrow the company and it's natural for them to leave, but a lot of them don't want to leave. And what, you know, science or research shows is that that's often what happens. We have more people at work who are present and doing the work versus presenteeism, which is they're there, but they're not really there, right? They're on their phone, they're checked out, or absenteeism where they call in, they make excuses why they can't come, or a lot of people leave. And so you have high turnover rates. And so what are, if there are any other benefits that you could share that you notice when your employees are happy, that benefits to you as a company?
Right. I couldn't agree with you more, Teresa. Those are all of the spill-off effects of happiness. Yeah. And it's the same in any relationship. If it's a working relationship, a loving relationship, family member, whatever, friend, all of the same tenets apply.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it increases profits, right? That when people are at work and they enjoy what they're doing, which you know, as you shared, like matching people with their strengths. So we were talking about this in our last show, that when people are familiar with their strengths and they use those strengths at work, they feel more excited, engaged, and authentic. And I heard you share that too in what you said, that we try to match them up with opportunities where they're able to use those strengths and then and realize them within themselves.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you think about the last time you did something to develop yourself, and you know, you made slow progress in the beginning, and then eventually you start to nail it. How empowering and how joyous do you feel? You can't put a dollar amount on that.
Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm. You can't. Yeah, there's no money that would equate to that joy and that satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. How happy is corporate Canada, Panam?
that's a loaded question, Manny, because I think Canada in general as a nation, everybody's so bloody unhappy right now. Everyone's bitter and twisted. The roads, everybody's upset at each other. Everybody's giving each other the finger. I just go around, like, look, when somebody lets me in, when I've, you know, when I'm trying to merge, I give them a thumbs up. I'm trying to do just the opposite. I'm trying to be the.
That's the best thing. That's the best thing you can do.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But yeah, I don't think corporate Canada is very happy. Talking to my friends who are still in publicly traded companies and working away, it seems to be that, you know, the cost of living is so high that really it's got people in a bit of a grip.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
When I listen to you, you definitely emanate somebody who sees life with their cup, I think it's full. It's definitely full and overflowing, because when you said, oh, everyone's giving the finger and I'm giving a wave and a smile, it's because we can only give from a cup that's full and overflowing. And that when you see life like that, as your cup, I think half full instead of half empty, right? That it's, there's positivity in that, there's energy in that. And I, you know, just through the examples you've shared, you definitely are that type of person, would you say?
Well, look, I'm living in a first world country. My air conditioning is going on. My biggest question, my biggest overhead tonight is, am I going to have my salmon or my steak? What do I have right now in any way, shape, or form to complain? How blessed are we?
Yes.
Seriously, how blessed are we? I woke up today with 10 fingers and 10 toes, and I had 16 people come to work who actually like what they're doing. I'm winning all day long.
Yeah, I love that. I'm winning.
Awesome. Oh. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time. And I'm serious. You guys are coming back on the show, and we're going to get you guys and continue the conversation, because I love what you guys are doing every day.
Oh, thanks, Manny. I love what you're doing. I'm really happy our paths crossed, and I'm liking this new stuff that you're doing with Teresa. So I'm constantly watching, and give me a shout whenever you think there's a time that fits for you and the topic is right.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the day. Say hi to Patrick for us, and then we'll talk soon.
I will. Thank you, Manny.
Okay, take care. Bye
bye.
Are you ready to take your construction business to the next level? Consider joining the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance Program, TAP, where skilled professionals connect, collaborate, and grow together. Our network is built on mutual respect and the shared goal of always building better. As a member, you'll have access to a wealth of resources designed to streamline your operations and attract more clients. From a 30-minute assessment call with myself to expert consultations in business, finance, and health, we've got you covered. Your business information will be featured at www.theconstructionlife.com, complete with certifications, logos, and geo-targeting to help you reach the right audience. Promote your business with a 30-second advert across TCL's social channels and our popular podcasts. Get exclusive access to TCL networking events and roundtable shows where you can connect with other tradespeople and general contractors, plus enjoy TCL merchandise, member-exclusive content, and a spot in the TAP directory online. We're going to promote you guys to homeowners across Facebook groups. Don't miss out on this opportunity to elevate your business. Become a member of the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program today and start reaping the benefits. Visit us at www.theconstructionlife.com for more details, or DM us through any of the social platforms, or text me directly at 416-433-5737 to learn more, and consider being a TAP member today.
That
she's great. And it's funny, is I've never met her. I don't even think I know what she looks like, because she's always holding the camera, capturing the moments. But I like the seeds that she's planting. And it's, she's 100% right. She's dealing with a lot of immigrants that come. Most of them don't even speak English, but they don't dismiss them. Mm-hmm. Because like she said, we're immigrants. Like, we just, you know, we came from different places, and we're all here in Canada now. We're just trying to provide. We're just trying to be happy. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to be stepped on. We don't need to be flipped the bird all the time. There's a lot of goodness going on. There's a lot of people in construction that are full of goodness as well, too. So I love a lot of the things that she said.
Yeah. And we haven't talked about that on the show, right? How do you, you know, happiness at work, which, you know, I do happiness at work sessions. And so ironically, when she was talking about all of the benefits that she's seeing of having a positive culture at work, and those are all the things that research shows actually happen. And it actually increases profits it that does. When you have employees that are happy to be there.
You boogie. You work.
Yeah. Yeah. You work.
And the work day goes fast and you accomplish a lot.
Yeah.
Which translates to profits.
Yes, it does. And even and any money that you might spend in developing that, you get back, you know, tenfold. With the work that you're doing. So recognize that, you know, you think, oh, you know, won't no, it actually does something because it improves all of those different areas. So I love how she talked about how they're doing that and all the benefits that she's seeing from that.
We've seen and I've spoken and I've been on job sites. And the grumpies come on and the grumpies are like, not even a good morning, not even a morning, not even a what's up, nothing. And it's like, is your life? And she's 100% right. We have it pretty good if you think about it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, what are you really grumpy about? What's really on your shoulders here that you're like, why don't you just say hello? And then you never know. There might be a company culture there on the site where it's like one person says, you know, I'm going to go get a coffee. I'm going to do a coffee run. Who wants a coffee? And now you're taking orders for everybody. And then you're coming back and it's like a little gesture. Mm-hmm. And it changes the vibe, right? So maybe the Mr. Grumpy might not be so grumpy come the afternoon.
Yeah, thank you for that. Because doing things for others is one way that we can feel happier. And again, on one of our shows, one of the guests shared that, and it was Daniel actually, we said, you know, what is one of the things that like helps you to cultivate happiness in your life? And he said, like, when I was in a wheelchair and I couldn't even do very much, he said, just trying to make other people smile, trying to make other people laugh, or, you know, they've dropped something, I'm picking it up and giving it to them, or buying a coffee for someone for $1.50 and not even saying anything. That doing things for, that's one of the things that research has shown, that when we help others, we receive so much in return. So yep. That's a very quick way of being able to turn our energy around because it feels so good.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you so much.
Another good bunch of shows. And, yes. And I'm always very appreciative of everybody that's taking the time to speak with us and share and opened up. And I know that they're connecting. So
me too. Thank you.
It's been fun. That's it. We're all done.